Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
9:08 on this Thursday morning. It's Mayor Thursday, and yes, we do have a mayor in the house. She has battled strep throat and other issues, but Michelle Randall is here, Mayor of St. George City. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, Andy. I'm great. It's a beautiful morning out there. I was just looking out your window, and oh my gosh.
I have the best view in St. George. Yeah.
You do.
I found out. My son is trying to buy a house right above us on the hill here, and his back patio door glass window thing is looking at the same thing. I'm like, dude, that's a sweet view. Yeah. I know because I see it every day.
Yeah, so, you have a better view than I do at the mayor's office.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little higher up. Yeah,
you are higher. A little higher.
Not that kind of. I mean, physically higher up. Michelle brought Sean Guzman with her. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on the show, man. Sean Guzman. What is Sean? Wasn't he an attorney, lawyer? He was, but he's not.
I still am an attorney.
Well, you are. But you're.
He hasn't been disbarred yet.
Sean was the city attorney for how long? 18 years?
For 18 years, yes.
Wow, nice. Now you are in charge of government affairs. What does that mean?
Well, I handle the interactions with our legislative team here at the state level, with the Utah League of Citizen Towns on upcoming legislation, and also interact with our delegation in D.C. on national legislation that affects St. George, and obviously with all of the BLM property and other things going on down here. There's a lot to do at that level. And then, of course, with our local governments around here, too, the county and other cities.
So you've got Mike Lee and Celeste Malloy on speed dial?
Some of them answer all the time. Some don't.
Some of them are like, that's Guzman, click.
Yeah.
No, seriously, we, when we were considering, because Sean was doing both, really, for a while. And so during the legislative session that starts in January, goes for 45 days, you know, Sean had to be up there and flying back and forth. And we're just like, we're getting big enough now to where we need somebody that's lobbying for us full time for some of these issues that we're having to deal with. He was very instrumental in getting us money for the airport tower, which, by the way, goes out to bid in March or April.
All right.
We're so excited about that. He was able to get us $10 million from the state of Utah for that tower. And
we actually got $15 million for the tower.
Oh, that's right.
It was $10 million the year before for the renovations.
Yes. And now we're going to be asking for more money because we have to expand our airport. It's October and November of this year were record years.
Yeah.
For deployments.
I used it this year.
Yeah. It's just been
back in June, I think it was, or July. Anyway, yeah, July.
So he interacts and does those kind of things, especially like when we go back to D.C. and meet with the FAA on our airport, because we're a regional airport, and they were even shocked. The first time we met with them, when I went with Sean, they were shocked that our air traffic control was out of LAX.
LA, yeah.
They're like, what? You know, because you've got such a huge bureaucracy, you know, in D.C. that how many workers there, who even knows. But the lady we work with is phenomenal. And she's like, oh, you've got to have a tower. And that went smoothly. But that's what Sean does. He goes out and lobbies. And with this Northern Corridor issue, he's been working on it for long before I was on the city council.
And we will talk about that for sure here in a few minutes.
And we'll continue to work on it. So
So let's talk airport for a minute, though, Sean, if that's okay. I saw a map, and I don't know if it's accurate, but it was like a map of what traffic control towers control what areas. And I was shocked, maybe like Michelle was saying, at how few actual towers there are around the country. And, for instance, the LAX tower is the air traffic control tower for, I don't know, a big chunk of southwestern United States. I guess you become an expert in this field, huh?
Well, you have to become a jack of all trades and master of none, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But the interesting thing is that the Salt Lake region is actually the largest geographic region in the country for FAA regional control. And then the cutoff is Cedar City. And so here we are. You know, a lot of times when you're sitting on the tarmac in Salt Lake waiting to take off, it's not waiting for Salt Lake to clear us. It's waiting for L.A. to clear us to take off and land in St. George.
That's crazy. So I guess maybe there's a misunderstanding what air traffic control is because, you know, you watch the old movies and they got the control tower and they're looking at the airplanes and, of course, they have the radar and all that. And you just think that they're in charge of all the airplanes in that general area. But it's a little bigger than that, isn't it?
It is, and more complicated. And when you have an airport like St. George, remember, SkyWest is the largest regional airline in the country, in the world, actually. In fact, there are days in Salt Lake International World where Delta is number two and SkyWest is number one in the number of flights that go out, because they do all of those regionals for American and Delta and United, Alaskan. They do those regional flights for them. But what the conflicts we were seeing down here is you've got all the GA, the general aviation people coming in too. And so the way they control the traffic, besides L.A. clearing the commercial jets to land, is they call out and say, I'm here, you know, here's where I am. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to look out. Well, we're getting so busy with our commercial traffic and with our general aviation that is no longer safe.
Oh, boy. Well, the last thing you need is flight paths crossing each other, and
we don't want to make national news
want that. Not at all. So when we get this tower built, and it's not an if anymore, it's a when, right?
It's a
happening.
Win.
Okay.
Yes.
When we get this, how will they break up that piece of the pie? What will we be in charge of besides St. George? Will we be assigned other areas as well?
Well, I know there's a geographic area that'll be assigned to. I haven't seen that yet. I know that they've done the studies. So I would have to find that out. But it will be for sure clearing all the traffic from Cedar South and around the airport. So probably from Mesquite to Cedar.
Okay. And they're not going to throw LA. Something big like Vegas or something at us.
Oh, no, not at all. Okay, that's way too big for us. But as you know, with some of the events we have here, we're getting a lot of overflow from Vegas with private jets.
Yes, we are. All right. Well, it sounds like good things are happening as far as the airport. And like Michelle said, we don't want to make any kind of national headline or some mid-air collision. No, we don't want that.
No, because, you know, there's a Facebook page, St. George Word of Mouth, and sometimes I hate it and sometimes I like it.
It's an interesting page.
Isn't
sure.
it? Right.
Yeah.
And somebody was on a flight coming back from Salt Lake and they said all of a sudden they just ascended quickly. And it was because of a private plane that they didn't know was right in their airspace.
Yeah.
And they said it scared them all to death, you know. And so the tower's designed, it's ready to go out to bid, and so we're hoping within the next year and a half we'll
have air traffic control
totally running tower. Our own air traffic control, and the FAA will provide the people that do it. We don't have to pay for them.
Now you're the mayor, that's a pretty stressful job, but I hear that air traffic controller is the number one most stressful job in America. So
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you screw up, people die.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pretty big job.
Yeah, it's a huge job.
Bigger than an attorney or a mayor or a radio guy.
Yeah.
If I screw up, I could get fired or fined, but there's no lives on the line, I don't think.
No, it would be a tough job. And we now have a restaurant at the airport upstairs where the observation deck was. And so my dad's brother's a pilot, and you know, you're always having to keep your hours up and stuff. And a lot of people fly here. It's beautiful, and they fly here. But they're like, if we could fly there and land and eat something at the airport and then get up and fly again, well, now they can. And then eventually our airport's going to double or triple in size because it's just, there's
well,
just no
room. Well, St. George is doubling and tripling in size, so it needs
That's right. Yeah. if you're on one of those early morning flights, it's standing room only.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah, I like flying out. You know, and I know people are like, well, it costs more. But if you think about, you know, McCray Hepler and I talked about this. If you think about all the expense involved in driving to Vegas or Salt Lake to fly, from time, gas, parking fees, everything involved with that, to me, it's like no-brainer to go from here.
My niece just barely came back from Texas, and she flew out of Vegas. And she said when she got her car to pay just to get out of her car out of the traffic, out of the parking garage,
yeah.
It was $125.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she was so tired because she didn't get in until 1:30 in the morning. So she ended up getting a room and spending the night before she drove home. So she went and fall asleep with her kids. And so cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's just like, I should have just spent that extra money to fly right.
Even if you took one of our shuttle services here in town, it's like $50 each way.
Right.
You have to leave like 4, 5, 6 hours before your flight actually takes. I mean, you're big. How valuable is your time? I know my time is valuable, right, guys? I mean, as an attorney, you know about billing hours and things like that.
Listen, my wife already gave me the lecture after one trip years ago in Vegas, waiting five deep to even get your luggage, not to mention the $120 in parking and the two-hour drive. She said, you're paying the extra money, and we're going out of St. George.
It doesn't feel as bad when you're going to, but when you're coming home, you're like, oh, my gosh, we still have 2 more hours if you get your luggage quickly. And so I'd much rather just land here. I can be home in 10 minutes and jump into bed.
Have they, I know Salt Lake Airport was undergoing extensive remodeling and everything.
Oh, it
and
still is.
Is it still bad when you fly from here to Salt Lake and you have to do a lot of walking through the tunnel and all? Is that still
Every time I get off of that plane, that song goes through my mind. Pioneer Children sing as they walked and 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 walked. Because you get to a certain point and it says, 7 more minutes after you feel like you've already walked 15.
7 minutes. Can I take the freeway or what's the... Holy cow.
Yeah, it's still ongoing. I think it's a project. It's one of those things, the song that never ends, you know?
Yeah. Don't start that because then we'll never earworm. But let's talk about taking time to get somewhere. Getting from I-15 to, say you had to go to Ivins, you want to go to Tuakon, or you want to go to Black Desert, or you want to even go to Santa Clara, or anywhere on the west side, it is a challenge right now. And I know we were set up, we were ready, and this is, Sean's going to be an expert on this, so we're going to get his expertise on this. We were ready for the Northern Corridor. It was promised, I mean, subdivisions were built, roads were set, everything was ready for the Northern Corridor to come in, and then something happened.
Well, you've got Washington right now that has a road to nowhere.
They do.
Because they had planned way ahead, and CITLA owns the land at exit 13. That was going to be a huge hub for commercial because people would come out that way. And CITLA's only job is to make money for the school district. For the schools, not the school district, for all the schools. That's CITLA's job. And if people don't know what CITLA is, it stands for
State Institutional and Institutional Trust Lands Administration.
Yes.
Right.
Big.
In fact, one of the amendments, right, that we voted on, propositions, was to use some more of that money for the schools, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So anyway, finish what you were saying.
So it was always going to be, you know, you'd have that Northern Corridor go up and around, and it's a 4-mile road, four miles.
4 miles.
And then all of a sudden we get back from the BLM, the decision saying, no, we're going to use Red Hills Parkway for the Northern Corridor. People have no idea what that will do to the city.
Yeah.
It takes out... Tonight at City Council, we have a lot of, we've been told a lot of the recreation groups are coming because now Sitla's saying if the Northern Corridor isn't going to go where they say it's going to go, we're going to build homes out in Zone 6. So we traded, was it, Sean, 140 acres? Or 100?
For the Northern Corridor? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's about 150 acres.
150 acres, 6,000 acres that Sitla and BLM have for the tortoise. And, you know, they can roam for 6,000 acres. That's a, like, 45-to-1 ratio.
It's roughly the size of the walk that you do at Salt Lake Airport when you get off the plane.
Exactly.
about that far.
Exactly, yeah. About that far. And now they're saying, well, no. So Sitla's like, well, we're in desperate need of affordable housing for teachers and police officers and service workers, and so we'll develop that then. And they're like, no. We want our cake and eat it, too. Mm-hmm. Leave that alone. Leave the original habitat alone up there. Don't put the Northern Corridor through there. Send it all down Red Hills Parkway. On Red Hills Parkway, we've got a lot of buildings up there that the city operates out of, but we've mm-hmm. got our fleet department that works on.
Drive by it every morning.
Yeah. Every single vehicle we own, from a fire truck to a dump truck to a lawnmower. We've got our fuel stations up there. Mm-hmm. You've got the Point, which is that hotel that is above 1,000.
Right.
And they turned it into transitional housing for mm-hmm. veterans and seniors. And they're doing a $2 million expansion on that. That would go away. So many businesses would have to go away and be affected. Then you've got the cut right there where you live. You know, when you go through that cut every day, mm-hmm. you see a St. George substation on the north side. Well, it is the north side of the road, but you're looking west, east. When you're driving east to get to your house,
okay.
The substation's there on the north side. Then over on the south side, you've got Four Master Ridge, where homes are. What are you going to do there? Are you going to take out the Sugarloaf to expand this road?
That actually, I've actually heard people say, yeah, they ought to go ahead and get rid of it. I'm like, no.
We just spent $2 million with the county's help to put in an interpretive trail. The signs will be done in 2 weeks. Thank goodness. They've been at the printer forever. And that trail is amazing. And over Thanksgiving weekend on Saturday, there were thousands of people up there, all over those rocks up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Imagine having this massive just freeway, basically.
Belt route, yeah.
Going right through there.
It boggles the mind. Now we'll bring Sean in to talk about this a little bit, because I'm sure, Sean, you've done your homework on this one a lot.
Over many years.
Where are we at right now with the Northern Corridor? They came back with their supplemental, whatever, environmental thing and said, this is what you're going to do. And usually, not usually, sometimes when they say this is what you're going to do, we just do it. But this is pretty unacceptable, I think, to most people in St. George.
And it's pretty unusual, too. It's very unorthodox method they use to go back and reconsider. Just to give a little history, in 2009... when the reserve was created, the compromise back then was, yes, we will agree as a city and a county to the creation of this reserve, and we will agree that we will, in a sense, tax all of the new buildings here to pay for the upkeep of this reserve. And the compromise was, we still got the Northern Corridor, and that's spelled out in the congressional legislation that there will be a Northern Corridor. So that was the original compromise.
So they basically went back on their word completely.
They went back on their word. Not only that, it required a travel management plan that the Secretary of the Interior get this done within 3 years. From 2009. So they're overdue by many, many years.
That was a little while ago. Yeah.
In the meantime, we have been paying millions into the fund to keep that reserve going. And the county, kudos to them, came up with just an additional incentive. Usually when you have a contract, you don't have to come back with an incentive to say, we really, really want you to abide by the terms of the contract.
Yeah.
But that's when they were able to talk to Sitla and talk Sitla into throwing in 3,000 developable acres in Zone 6, along with an additional 3,000 of BLM property to create that full 6,000 of more pristine, more native plants, and better tortoise habitat. And so we all thought this is a win-win, slam dunk,
yeah.
150 acres essentially for a four-mile road, and you get better tortoise habitat, more pristine habitat, and we're protecting all those developable acres. And they came back with a decision that approved the current UDOT right-of-way through the reserve, and they were sued. The BLM was sued in D.C. Circuit Court, and they came up with this essentially a backroom deal where Washington County and St. George were not involved, that said, we'll do this quick reevaluation, this supplemental
yeah.
And it has to be done by the end of November. And why do you think that was, when we had a truncated process that was so quick?
It might have something to do with who's president.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's very political. In fact, the mayor's talked about the impacts of a roadway that essentially can't be built anyway, the Red Hills Parkway,
yeah.
which, by the way, I don't know how the compass works for the BLM, but that is south of the reserve, so that's not a northern corridor, that is a southern corridor. But in any case, they came back with this alternative that is mostly, I mean, just a very small sliver of that is in the reserve. The rest of it is city streets. And so we're not going to build it, Mayor. I mean, that's my understanding.
No.
We're just not going to build that.
We will not. And so Governor Burgum is Trump's selection for Interior Secretary.
Okay.
I heard he's very reasonable. We're hoping with a new administration we can go and find somebody with some common sense and say, does this make any sense to you? None of us want to see Moe's Valley Zone 6, which we call Zone 6, developed.
No.
It is a great recreation area. It is for people that go biking and rock climbing and climbing trails, and it is used all the time. It is used from people up north. Sean got a call from a friend of ours who's on the city council in Bountiful, and she's like, what is happening? You cannot get rid of Moe's Valley.
Yeah. I do need to get a commercial break in, and we'll talk more about this. But I got a text from somebody, and they're like, well, you need to have the Conserve Southwest people on to talk about what they think and why they think this is the best solution. And I said, well, I don't see this quote unquote solution is not a solution. It doesn't make any sense what they want. And I said,
there has to be compromise.
Yeah. I want it my way. And by the way, when I'm getting my way, I also want it my way.
Right.
You know, it's just not fair. You know, we have Sean is here. He's an attorney. He knows about compromise and deals and making sure everyone is happy or unhappy, I guess, at the same time. Depends. Anyway, let me get this weather break in, and then we'll talk more with Michelle Randall and Sean Guzman after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, 9:36 on KDXU. Michelle Randall, the mayor of St. George City, is here. Been mayor, what, how long now? Five, six, how many? 6 years?
4 years.
Four years.
I'm up for re-election next year.
Oh, it's coming, huh?
Yeah.
You get to start campaigning after the new year hits, right?
Yeah, well.
Well.
I am going to run again.
Good.
You
heard it here first.
You hear it here? Yep. I would like to do one more term because we have so many things I want to see done.
Yeah.
And I really have enjoyed it. 90% of the time it is fabulous.
90? Oh, there's 10%.
Really,
in
there's
there.
10% that you're like, wow, just wow. And my family gets to listen to me, you know, vent.
Yeah.
But we have hands down the most incredible staff around. We have the best parks department, I would say, in the country. I have people always just like, I had a mayor from up north come and stay here a few weeks ago. He used to own a home here. He just sold it. So they were staying at the Avenir. Mm-hmm. And he said he had brought his whole family with him, his grandkids and everybody. And he said, man, my grandkids were out at the bicycle park the entire time. And he said, you guys do it the very best I've ever seen it done.
Yeah.
And it's not just them. During the break, I was telling Sean, Senator Ipsen's wife passed away and just a week or so ago.
No, I did
and,
not know that.
Yes. And she had battled some health issues, and he called me and he said they had been at the cemetery, you know, picking out a plot. And he said, your sexton was absolutely incredible and so compassionate. And he said, so easy to work with. And that's our whole team. I mean, really, from streets to wastewater to fleet, trying to get a fire truck fixed and right back up out on the road. And people don't see all the employees we have behind the scenes that make this city what it is. It's not the mayor. It's not, you know, we set policy and we try, but they're the experts. I'm not an engineer. I'm not post certified. I don't even golf. I couldn't even tell you what our greens need to look like and things. I've never worked with a more amazing group of people. And so I would love to do one more term. And then long gone are the days of Mayor MacArthur, who could serve 20 years or, you know, I think 8 years is plenty. And then you get out and give somebody else a turn. And, but I love it here. I love the city, and that's why I do it.
Someone asked me, would you ever consider running for mayor or something? I'm like, not at all interested, because I see the 90% you talk about is fantastic, but I see the 10% that you get too, and I'm like, I don't want that.
It can be ugly. It really can be.
It can be mean.
I can't even imagine being on a national level where, you know, stories are written about you all the time, and it's ugly. You know, this election season, I was just glad that it was over with. And I just hope that we can come together as a country and realize that we are the greatest country in the world. We truly are. Is there anywhere else you'd want to live? I mean,
not me. Well, maybe Switzerland. That's pretty cool.
That's the only, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, if somebody said you can't live in America anymore, where would you go? And I would go to Switzerland. That's where my ancestors are from. Yeah. And I've never been there. It's on my bucket list, but absolutely beautiful. Crest Staley went.
I got to go this last summer.
I toured
the Lindt chocolate factory.
Wow.
And if there were no other motivation to move to Switzerland than that, that would be a good reason right there.
Well, Cress went to the Staley family home
because
we both are Staleys, and it is still standing. It is still pristine.
Wow.
It's only been owned by two families, the Staley family and then the people who own it now. And so that's where I would go, but I'll stay. Well, Switzerland's neutral too, right?
Pretty much. They're neutral about everything. Yeah. So, wait, dark chocolate or milk chocolate, though?
Milk.
Okay, you're out. You can't stay in Switzerland. That's not real chocolate. Sean. Sorry, I'm going to talk to Sean now because you said milk.
And it's because I'm a dark chocolate.
Yes, he's the man right there. I think I actually ordered some from Switzerland that's going to come here in December 9th or something.
Maybe
like
their
dark
chocolate is better than like Hershey's dark chocolate. You know, if you get the
Hershey's is a little off.
You get that package that has all the different things in it, the Mr. Good bar and the mm-hmm. and I always throw the dark chocolate's just nasty.
Bring him to Andy. He'll take care. Or Sean.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll take care of them. All right, back to the Northern Corridor. Sean, is it okay that we're putting our eggs in the, okay, we're going to get a new administration and things are going to change, or are we up in the night? Will things change?
Well, I would not say, sounds like you're going to say eggs in one basket, and we're not. We still will plan on mounting our lawsuit in conjunction with the state of Utah and UDOT over the decision to choose the Red Hills Parkway.
So the Northern Corridor would be a UDOT project, right?
Yes, absolutely. UDOT was ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay. They were ready to build after we received our record of decision last time.
And we sent a strongly worded letter. It was from the governor. It was from the commissioners. It was from myself. It was from anybody that's involved in that to DC, BLM, saying, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. You cannot do this. And we have a really good relationship with all of our congressional delegation back in D.C. Mm-hmm. Our new Senator John Curtis, and with Senator Lee, and of course Les Malloy is Congresswoman Malloy. She's been dealing with this since she was at the county attorney's office.
Right.
So she's very much in our favor.
She was in on the ground floor. Yeah,
she was there, and we'll fight tooth and nail to get this right.
Are we missing anything, Sean? Is there anything that, like, I kind of feel like, okay, I think I know the whole situation. Is there something we're not thinking about? Is there something we're missing? I don't feel like there is.
Well, as far as maybe your listeners go, just to remember that once the record of decision is signed by the current secretary that chooses the Red Hills Parkway Expressway, mm-hmm. then the Zone 6 goes away. Now, what that means
is... It's not a threat. That's just a reality.
That's the reality. And again, the Utah Supreme Court has already weighed in on CITLA's fiduciary duty to maximize the profit on all of those school trust lands that they have available to them.
Okay.
So they can't just sit on the property. Now, what I will say, you know, kudos to the mayor. We sat down with CITLA recently, the local people, and said, are you willing to hold off a bit while we try to see if we can work this out or put our lawsuit together and see if we can fight this or work with the new administration? And we think we've got them to hold off a little bit.
Because they're ready to go.
They are ready to go. And, you know, the need is there. I've got five children. Four of them are married. Only one of them has been able to buy a house.
Yeah.
And we look at that, and that's one thing the mayor's been working on, is trying to find a way to get affordable housing here. And here we have 3,000 acres out there that could be affordable housing. There are pressures there to move forward. And that's why, you know, really it is a miracle. I've dealt with CITLA for probably around 30 years since their creation. And when I found out the county was able to swing this deal by convincing them that their property at the interchange on I-15 would become even more valuable if the Northern Corridor goes in, that it would offset the value they could get out here on these 3,000 acres. Will you please throw this in? And I thought that was just a shot in the dark, and they were able to do this. And now we have the very community that treasures that actually putting that in jeopardy.
Crazy. It actually boggles the mind right now to think that. I don't know. I'm having a hard time even envisioning a belt route right through. I mean, we would be looking at it right now and through there,
We would be the most affected. St. George, we would, and people have no idea how detrimental that would be to our city until they see it. And we have national historic status that we worked on to get for the Sugarloaf. You know, and we spent, like I said, $2 million on that trail up there. And for that to just go away, to just have this beltway go through because you got to get traffic, you know, back and mm-hmm. forth, when there would be no place to stop where the Northern Corridor is proposed. It would be a straight shot through. And you're not idling, you know, creating the pollution from your cars, anything like that. It's just... common sense just goes out the window sometimes with some of the environmental groups. I am for clean air and water. I don't want dirty water and dirty air. No. But there are things that are just common sense. let us take 150 acres through there, that reserve. Keep your 6,000 acres. The turtle, the tortoises, what if they counted like 30? 30.
Yeah.
And they're using, they put in the culverts to go under the road.
They use them.
Yeah. You know, and they're talking about fires. Well, a road is a fire break. It's a good fire break. Just every excuse that comes up or every, you know, well, this will happen. Well, this will happen. I'm just like, we have an answer to it. And so we're going to fight tooth and nail. I mean, we will fight.
All right. Got to get another commercial break in back with Michelle Randall and Sean Guzman after this. All right, I want to talk for a minute about Ducrest Monument Company. Now you can just go to the funeral home and take whatever they give you. Or you can say, you know what, I want full control over the monument or headstone for my grave. And you know what, Ducrest Monument Company is listening. And first of all, they're going to save you money. And second of all, they have this cool feature. My wife and I went in. They have what they call the design center. You go in the room, lady's on the computer, and they have a big screen TV over her head. And you can watch exactly how she's designing your monument, your headstone, and tell her exactly what you want. We had a few little kind of custom tweaks that we wanted for our headstone. And maybe some of you have seen the one they made for us. It was at the home show, but we're incredibly satisfied and happy with the Ducrest Monument Company. Number one, save money. Number two, you get exact say in how your headstone looks, what stone you get it cut out of, what you have on it. We have a picture of the Jordan River Temple on the front and the beautiful red rocks of St. George on the back. We're incredibly happy. I suggest go down to Ducrest Monument Company. They're located at 101 East. No, excuse me. They're located about 500 West on Buena Vista. I almost gave you the Angelica's address there. Sorry about that. Also, if you tell them you heard about Ducrest Monument Company on the Andy Griffin Show, you can get 10% off your order. That could save you hundreds of dollars. Again, it's the Ducrest Monument Company. Their phone number is 435-962-2879. Ducrest Monument Company is AG approved.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Well, we only have 5 or 6 minutes left. I'm on with Michelle Randall. She is the mayor of St. George. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
And Sean Guzman, who is the city attorney for a long time, 18 years, but now is the, tell me your title again.
Government Affairs Director.
Government Affairs Director, right.
And Andy, can I say one thing? I listened last month when Cameron was on. He did a great job. But he had a caller call in that lives in Bloomington that had called the month before when I was on. And Cameron said he was talking about the light at Man of War and Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And
in Bloomington, yeah.
In Bloomington. And I just almost saw a near miss again when I was out at my sister's house. She lives right on Man of War. And on Monday, the city manager and myself directed Cameron, get on that light.
Get her done. Nice.
Get her done.
Okay.
We don't need a study to go on and on and on. There's more commercial that's going to go out by Smith's. And it's just getting too dangerous there. So the gentleman that called know that that was the direction from the city manager and myself.
Okay.
And Cameron said, aye.
Nice. All right, I don't have a call screener today, so we're just going to go straight off the phone lines here. Hey, thanks for calling in and being patient on hold. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to take this opportunity really quick to just encourage you guys to keep fighting against this fight, because just a quick story from the private sector, and I think it helps give some clarity to maybe some in the community that just can't understand why Trump and his administration would win, because it's not just a matter of the common sense of a boy being a boy and a girl being a girl, or that you can't charge your electric car with wind and solar. But it's also stuff like this, because I think it's across the board, across the nation. A real fast story, just to give you where I'm coming from. I tried to harvest boulders that were in just a natural landslide on BLM property a few years back. We went through all the process, got a reclamation plan in place. And part of it was they wanted to push the dirt, have us push the topsoil off everything, which we agreed to. And we were just going to roll these boulders down the hill so then we could collect them, put them into a truck, and haul them off. Well, a government drone that we were dealing with tells me, no, you can't do that because it'll hurt the dirt. And I almost started laughing because I thought he was joking. And then I realized he was being serious.
He was not joking.
That by rolling dirt rocks down the hill was going to hurt the dirt that we'd have to use to put back as part of our reclamation plan. So I agreed, okay, we won't hurt the dirt. Then they came back to us about 2 weeks later and told us, oh, no, you can't do this because there is a possible, I emphasize possible, alternative route to the old Spanish Trail. And if someone was to walk on that or go decide to hike on that, they may see your operation and be displeased. And I said, well, sir, part of the problem with your argument is that possible alternative route goes right through all this private property, so nobody's going to get on it in the first place. And literally a quarter of a mile down the road, right there where you can see it, is the county landfill. So they're not going to be displeased with that one. I'm just simply saying this is, there is no common sense, and that is why I think as a nation we finally said enough is enough.
Yeah.
Get Elon Musk and Vivek and all those guys in there and Trump and anybody that's willing to say this is stupid.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Common sense has gone out the door, and we need to bring it back for sure.
I think America made a statement in November. They said, you know what, and that's exactly what the caller is saying, is, you know what, we're tired of all this wackiness. And let's just get back to who we are and who we were.
Well, Andy, don't you think it would have been difficult for the pioneers to have built downtown St. George, their homes, the temple, the courthouse, because they were what? Harvesting rock
from
the mountains around here.
They want to injure that dirt.
That's just it. It's the federal government has gotten so large that we've gotten away from the House and the Senate, from the executive, the judicial branch, actually running the government. You've just got a bunch of bureaucrats running the government.
People who have been working, making $150,000 a year
in
some federal thing with a pension, who is making policy and telling people what to do.
Exactly. And we're tired of that.
Tired of it. Yeah, I agree. And hopefully we won't have to hurt any dirt.
That was funny.
And we can move. No, that is a good line.
But yeah. I could see them saying that you're hurting the dirt. Well, okay. So you can't build a sandcastle anywhere. You can't let your kids make mud pies. I mean,
it's you know, when Sean was saying, imagine if the pioneers had run into NHPA and all these different government agencies and said, yeah, you can't live here because, you know, there's deer and squirrels.
Or don't you dare touch that sandstone. You
right.
know,
yeah. right. Don't quarry that. But in this case, kind of leaving it at the end, is we did not need to come up with an additional incentive for the BLM to follow the congressional mandate in the law. And yet we've come up with 6,000 acres, 3,000 of which are developable right now that are more pristine. And we want to save those for 150 acres. And
offering
we're still
a
being
very, very big olive branch.
Yes.
Huge.
To help. And,
yeah,
and they
huge
don't
olive
care.
Branch. So I just want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. I won't see you until January 2nd.
Yes,
so
January 2nd.
Hope you and your family have a great holiday
thank
season.
Thank you, Michelle. It's very kind of you. Sean, thanks again for coming.
Appreciate you
coming here. Michelle, as always, it's a pleasure. Andy Griffin Show, open lines tomorrow, folks. Thanks for listening.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.